presentation will be a tag team effort by Margaret Whitley, who has earned an MPH from UCLA, is a project associate at Rand Health, and her work focuses on community health, complementary and integrative medicine, and health promotion for children and families. She manages and conducts research on multiple NIH and foundation-funded grants, all with the aim of improving health policy related to prevention and treatment. Also, in the presentation will be Lara Hilton. She also has earned an MPH from UCLA, has worked with RAND since 2000 as a research analyst specializing in health policy, evidence-based practice medicine, complementary, alternative, and integrative medicine, behavioral health, military health, program evaluation, and evaluation capacity building. Say that 10 times. Her approach to research includes mixed methods and focuses on patient-centered care and research. She's coordinated and led research projects with the NIH, NCCIH, and the Agency for Healthcare and Quality Research, and the Department of Defense and Veterans Administration. Lara and Margaret.
Great, thank you so much. Again, my name is Margaret. I'm here with my colleague, Lara Hilton, and I want to mention that our co-authors on this presentation are Ian Coulter, who's the principal investigator of the center, as well as Ron Hayes, Gary Ryan, and Patricia Herman. And our presentation is entitled Determining Appropriateness of Manipulation and Mobilization for Chronic Low Back and Cervical Pain in the Age of Patient-Centered Care. And our work has been funded by the National Institutes of Health within their National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health under the cooperative agreement that's noted there. And it's a collaboration between NCCIH, RAND, UCLA, and the Samueli Institute. We didn't note it on the slides, but we don't have any conflicts of interest. So in our presentation today, we want to present the methods of this RAND NCCIH Center of Excellence for Research on CAM, which was funded to develop a practice-based, patient-centered process for studying chiropractic care that uses manipulation and mobilization for chronic low back and chronic neck pain or cervical pain. So in our presentation, we're going to describe first a quick background on appropriateness, the studies of appropriateness, and some challenges in that area. And then we'll give an overview of our center, as well as the methods of each RO1 project within the center, progress to date on those projects, and describe some next steps with respect to our national study of chiropractic clinics, recruitment of providers, which is an area in which we would love a little help from some of you. So first, I want to talk just a little bit about appropriateness panels to help set the context for the work of our center. Given geographic variations in care, as well as rising healthcare costs, and the diversity of the scientific and clinical information that's available to healthcare providers, it's essential to have methodologies that can synthesize available information, as well as distill the quality of that information and make it available and practical to clinicians, as well as to patients and to policymakers. Because of this, in 1977, the NIH developed their Consensus Development Conference, and this was a method by which the scientific community could bring relevant research to bear on the quality of healthcare, and it was a method for resolving evidence judgment issues. And given this purpose, the membership of these panels tended to be predominantly researchers. And this panel process used a combination of different models, and there were a lot of positive things about this this process, but it had some challenges as well, and some limitations. So I'm just going to mention a couple of those. One of the limitations was that the clinical scenarios being considered had to be resolved by existing scientific evidence, but we know that there are often really pressing issues for which there's very little scientific evidence. Also in the NIH process, there was a focus on research findings and very little space to integrate clinical experience or clinical acumen. And the process forced consensus, which meant that the panels could only produce findings on a pretty limited number of clinical situations in which all the panelists agreed. So I think, you know, if you get a group of experts together in a room, they're not necessarily going to agree on everything, and it was only able to cover the areas in which they do agree. These panels were comprised mainly of researchers, not so much of clinicians, and in turn there was a lack of impact on physician behavior, which a lot of people thought had to do with the fact that There weren't very many clinicians on the panels, and maybe folks out in the field were more interested in hearing guidelines and recommendations created by other clinicians. So because of these limitations in the RAND, in the NIH consensus development conference method, RAND developed their own appropriateness expert panels method. And this slide compares the two methods, and you can see that while they have a lot of similarities, there are also a couple important differences. One difference is that the RAND panel process includes more of a clinical perspective. It includes the panelists are both scientific and clinical experts, and involves a closed discussion among the panelists. The RAND process produces indications for different clinical procedures with varying degrees of consensus, so there doesn't have to be consensus. It can also result in disagreement or indeterminate ratings for some scenarios. And as a result of the RAND process, you can establish empirically rates of appropriate and inappropriate care. So this slide is meant to illustrate what happens during the RAND appropriateness panels. A set of clinical indications are created by research staff, and these are indications which the evidence could be applied to. And these indications categorize patients in ways that they might usually present in a clinic, including things like symptoms, medical history, previous diagnostic test results. Then the panelists would review a systematic review of the literature represented by that stack of books, and then they would rate each of the clinical indications based on whether a given treatment is appropriate or inappropriate on a scale of 1 to 9. And those smiley faces represent the panelists. They're typically about 9, which is why there are 9 faces there. And the result of all of these indications ratings and a discussion about the ratings and opportunity for panelists to change their ratings results in a set of appropriateness ratings for the conditions being considered. So while the RAND method built on the NIH method by integrating the clinical piece, there's still some limitations to it. The RAND method does not, for example, integrate patient-reported outcomes. It definitely doesn't address patient preferences for care or costs of care. And that is where our center wants to innovate. And our center is comprised of 4 projects and 2 cores. Laura will talk a little bit more about those. But these 4 projects and 2 cores are woven together to support this work on improving the appropriateness methodology. So this center is a 4-year grant, which started in fall of 2013. It has a topical focus on manipulation and mobilization for chronic low back and chronic cervical pain. But we want to develop methods that could be applied broadly across chiropractic, across complementary and alternative medicine, integrative medicine, and allopathic medicine. And the study, in its essence, uses a pre- and post-design where the expert panels will convene. In fact, they've already convened. They've done their ratings on a set of indications using the traditional methods. Then our team is going to get patient-centered data. We'll share that with the panels, and they will conduct these ratings again, taking that data into consideration. And then we'll be able to see how the ratings change from before and after when they take that patient-centered data into account. But in order to get that patient-centered data, we're conducting a national study on 1,600 patients in 5 U.S. regions, including at least 80 chiropractic clinics. And then Laura is going to discuss each of the projects.
All right. There's a lot going on here, and there are 4 large-scale R01s that are really interwoven synergistically to produce data to feed to these expert panels. So it's going to be a little bit hard. Each one of those could probably warrant a 15-minute talk. So I'm going to move through the aims of each of them and the progress to date quite quickly and kind of get to the kind of appeal that we were hoping to put to you today, which is help us recruit nationally. So the first project is the crux of the center. It's led by the center principal investigator, Dr. Ian Coulter. And this is where we're trying to advance the methodology of the appropriateness panels by bringing in that patient-centered data, taking into account patient outcomes, patient preferences, and patient cost. Secondarily, and not second in importance, but as a second specific aim, his team is also looking at rating calculating the rates of appropriate and inappropriate care on a national sample of chiropractic providers. Ian and the team have completed their systematic literature reviews culminating in meta-analyses on chronic low back and neck pain, manipulation and mobilization for chronic low back and neck pain. So those meta-analyses will be published as journal articles, so that's, you know, to be coming. So watch out for that in the academic journals. Indications were created out of this project, or out of the systematic reviews in this project, to feed to the panelists. And then, as Margaret said, two panels have been convened already. These are the pre-panels, if you will. The second project is where we're looking at bringing those patient-reported outcomes into the mix of appropriateness panels. This project is led by Ron Hayes and Kathy Shearborn. Kathy Shearborn of the SF36 fame. She created the SF36 health-related quality of life tool. And Ron Hayes at UCLA, who created the patient-reported outcomes tool called PROMIS, as well as the CAPS tool. Now, PROMIS is a health-related quality of life measure, and CAPS is a patient care experience and satisfaction tool. So the exciting thing, I think, for this group and researchers in chiropractic is that these tools will now be tailored for chiropractic patient populations. So that's kind of good news for us who are looking at outcomes and evaluation. To date, Ron has moved through and his literature review is complete. He's gone into focus groups across the country. He's tested the sort of acceptability of these tools in the chiropractic patient population, and he has refined the tools and tested them in cognitive interviews, and now we've brought those in to test in a local pilot in Los Angeles County. We're in 5 clinics, and we've gotten data from 100 chiropractic patients, and we're in the process of biweekly follow-ups with them. We're doing a baseline, biweekly follow-ups, and an end line with them, and we're just in process right now with that local pilot. Project 3 is the one that's led by Gary Ryan, and I'm his co-leader. And this is the most sort of slippery and qualitative of all of them. We're really looking at getting at patient preferences, their experiences with care, satisfaction. The way they're experiencing chronicity is one key element that we're finding. We did exploratory interviews so far to understand how patients are experiencing, how they come to chiropractic care and how they're experiencing it. And some of the, let's go to the next slide. And some of these interesting findings is we're starting to develop a theoretical model for patient preferences. We've integrated the information from our lit reviews and interviews into this patient preferences data tool. And again, we're testing that in the local pilot. So you can see there's this integration across all these projects with a data tool. The fourth project brings in cost. So this is led by Patricia Herman, who some of you may know. She's a health economist at Rand. She does amazing work. This is bringing in both the determination of whether the choice of a particular treatment is appropriate and whether the course of the treatment once chosen is appropriate. So she's worked through doing Markov modeling, and she's also looking at longitudinal data to get at willingness to pay and resource utilization. And she's in process with the pilot as well. We've integrated all of these large-scale R01s within the support of 2 core projects, which are the Systematic Review Core and the Data Collection and Management Core. I'm going to skip through these because I feel like I spoke about them already, and I'm going to move to the next steps. Our next phase, as I said, we're moving through a pilot. We're getting data on 100 patients right now. We're going to retool all of these instruments. Then we're going to move into a national phase. We're going to be in Dallas, San Diego, Minneapolis, and the White Plains, Yonkers, you know, New York area. And a fifth site, perhaps, you know, when you think about the United States, so geographically, so maybe either Portland or maybe Oregon, Orlando. So we're looking for the fifth site. And this is where we really are appealing to the chiropractic research community and our friends here to, you know, support us, connecting us with your colleagues who are in community-based practice, who are friends of research, who may want to collaborate with us. We're looking for between 80 and 100 chiropractors and sampling their patients. When kind of cool innovation that we've done. I mean, RAND is funny because we're on the cutting edge of some things around policy, and we're very slow to adopt new technologies that are going to affect human subjects research. So, you know, it was with like dragging and pulling and screaming that we got iPads in chiropractic offices, and whoa, has it lessened the burden on the chiropractors and their front office staff just to have an iPad there to recruit and screen patients, right? So instead of us sitting in the clinic troubling them and, you know, putting a burden in their waiting room, we are now moving all of that electronically, and we're moving probably into almost complete web survey data collection in the national. So we need help getting the word out. So we've been chatting with you guys at the Mixer, and we're kind of getting to know people. Of course, Ian Coulter's reached out to the president of ACA. We're going to be talking with state and local chiropractic associations in these areas as well. We're not doing a random sample. We're starting with a snowball sample of providers and researchers who can connect us with those in the community who would like to have us in their practice and collaborate with us. So just to summarize, you know, we've got this sort of, we're trying to advance the methodology. We're trying to bring patient-centered data into the middle of the mix here. Chiropractic care, CAM, integrative health, there's a lot of self-referral, out-of-pocket costs, and really system-wide now we're moving towards patient-centered care. And so we think we are really excited that NIH felt that it was important to fund the advancement of this methodology to bring what patients think about what they're spending, what patients think about their outcomes into the appropriateness panel method that previously excluded those voices. We're hoping for a broad application beyond chiropractic care, beyond integrative health, into other kinds of medical treatment and procedures using this type of appropriateness panel process. So, well, I guess the questions and discussions are at the end, but we do have a study site where all the information about the Center of Excellence is shown for patients, providers, and for the general public. And if you're interested in any of this very exciting panel process, all of our previous reports are on RAND.org, of which Ian Coulter has been a real spearhead within the chiropractic care domain. So thank you for listening.